P-minus 12. Connected. What do you mean time humbled you? Dan asked. What happened?
Our research into time manipulation has long been abandoned, and the technology has long been lost. Deliberately so. The only time gate left is the one you bravely traversed between New Caer Galen and the world of Sanctuary. The race you recently met there, who you call the Smalls. They and their technologies are in the future, but not of the future. They are where we put them, and they know less than you do.
But when I went to Sanctuary, I went forward in time, right? Dan asked.
In simplified terms, yes, effectively.
So I went into the future, which means that if they crossed the other way to New Caer Galen, they'd be going into the past?
No, the past cannot truly be visited in that sense,
the architect replied.
Crossing the gate from Sanctuary to New Caer Galen would not involve travel into the past, but travel back to the present. And the longer you spent on the other side of the gate, the greater potential for biological complications. As for your friend, I have grave concerns.
Is he okay? Dan asked urgently. Don't be cryptic. Leisha wants to go to get Billy back, so tell me what you know.
I cannot see the other side of the gate, Dan. I only know that you returned with one friend fewer than you left with, and that you are thinking about rescuing him. My warning is simple. He may have already been there for too long. The leap across that particular gate is more complex than you think.
Oh, I already think it's pretty damn-
No, you have no idea,
the architect said.
There is a reason our time research was abandoned and why we now search the universe for signs of any species who may be capable of and interested in researching it themselves, along with weaponry capable of causing problems beyond their own world. Time manipulation is one area of research we will clamp down on wherever we see it.
Dan was so amazed by what he was hearing, he didn't even ask what the architects thought gave them the right to act as universal policemen in this way. He shared their evident opposition to nuclear weapons, and this architect's strength of feeling about the dangers of any attempts to manipulate time was one that he was keen to explore.
Cheating time brings dangers beyond comprehension,
it said, using a term Dan immediately seized upon. Cheating time, he echoed.
And that is why there are no other gates. We were extremely fortunate not to affect the future in any meaningful way or to destroy our own past, and we are grateful for that. But many lives were lost in a single incident that taught us a painful lesson. Until we first created a time gate for experimental purposes, there was no need to deeply question when anything did occur, would occur, or had occurred. We learned our lesson quickly, however, that time cannot be mastered, cannot be cheated, and should not be manipulated.
So what's the story with Sanctuary? Dan asked. Why did you leave any gate if it's so dangerous?
That gate poses no danger to any but those who cross it, the architect said. To explain as best I can, it is a gate through both space and time, and across a space so vast that temporal contamination would be no practical threat to anything, even were it possible in this instance. But the Smalls can never cross of their volition. They lack a gate-passing craft, and they lack the capacity to ever conceive of one. Further, any Small who crossed the gate with assistance from those with a gate-passing craft, such as your friends from New Caer Galen, well, they would die immediately. I can say that with absolute certainty, as we lost far too many of our own kind in early testing for any doubt to remain.
But why did you leave the gate? Dan repeated. Surely the default position would be to destroy it once you knew how dangerous it is to mess with time.
A trip through time and space to Sanctuary, as far as we are concerned, is a one-way trip. We left the gate, perhaps unwisely, since we make no claim to be perfect,
so that humanity or your friends from New Kerguelen might have an emergency world to escape to should something threaten your own. It would be a one-way trip, but at least a trip would be possible. That world was an emergency lifeboat, but one you would have to live on forever. No larger boat would ever come. Although he shouldn't have been, since he knew by now the architect's brilliant mind was somehow communicating deep concepts in rich words it knew he would understand, Dan couldn't help but be surprised and impressed by its metaphors and colorful speech.
"That is why the Smalls are where they are," the architect went on. "In our desperation to save an intelligent race who were doomed, and with no other world capable of sustaining them known to us at that time, we did what we did. When we discovered them, their world's volcanic destruction was too imminent for us to create a shelter capable of shielding the population from the fallout, let alone sustain them for however long the atmosphere would be poisoned. The discovery came in the short window during which we were experimenting with time and foolishly felt as though we had mastered the process of time travel. In a limited sense, we did, with their existence being proof of that. But the limitations are such that we would never claim victory. But we had one shot to save their peaceful and simple race by sending them forward in time to the same point in space, and we took it. We sent them far enough forward to ensure their world would be habitable again, and we told them they were on a new world. A white lie, and the minimal level of intervention we felt we could make while still doing enough to save their race."
"Whoa," was all Dan McCarthy could say.
"Indeed."
"So if you destroyed the gate now, they would die? Is that how it works? Because they didn't originate on that side of it? And that's the main reason you left it?"
"No. Dan, listen to me. We left Sanctuary within the Messenger's reach so we could encourage them to flee there if we detected a planetary emergency that would otherwise destroy them. Similarly, we could have encouraged them to evacuate humanity if Earth was threatened and your species had followed a better path than it did. One that would have enabled us to suggest placing you on Sanctuary when the comet was on course, for instance. But with the aggressive and divided path you had taken, we didn't see that course as correct. The Smalls are peaceful, with what we knew of your kind then, before we knew you as we do. Sending humanity to their world would have seemed like signing their death sentence."
There was so much there for Dan to unpack, he took more than a few seconds trying to let at least some of it fully sink in. "So you kept the gate in case you ever had to save us or the messengers, and you would have told the same white lie, that we were just on another world, not in another point in time? Or is it like a different timeline?"
"Time manipulation ends one way, Dan. Humanity is the most inquisitive race we know of, but asking questions about timelines and trying to act upon them is the surest shortcut to destruction you could ever seek."
Dan wasn't going to act on any information about timelines, whatever such action could entail, but he didn't press this point. "How many intelligent races do you know of?" he asked instead.
"Currently four, although I imagine you will have a hard time believing that."
"No others?" Dan asked in amazement. "You, us, the messengers, and the Smalls? That's it?"
"We have worlds full of evidence that others did once live, but time conquers all. We have been around for what seems like forever, since for us it is, but we know that our existence is but a blip in the universe's history. Time is vast, and space is too. For as wide a net as we have tried to cast, we have likely barely scratched the surface."
This knowledge of how rare intelligent life was, or at least how little success the architects had met in searching for more, changed Dan's perspective greatly. It explained, perhaps, why they had gone to such lengths to protect that life they had found, whether with the Smalls' time jump or their eventual diverting of Comet Il Diavolo, even though humanity had, by that point, taken a path they considered dangerous. "Wait a second," Dan said, a sudden realization confusing him more than anything else so far, which was saying a lot. There's no timeline or whatever where humans have ever time-traveled before, is there?
Absolutely not. Categorically not. And there never will be.
And no other races have ever contacted the Smalls, obviously, since you just said no other races exist, as far as you know?
No, the architect confirmed.
Dan paused, trying to find the best way to phrase his next two-part question, the biggest yet. So why do the Smalls speak my language, and why do they see humans as gods? This question, which had been quietened in Dan's mind by the sound of a million others closer to home with more immediate consequences, had never been silenced. It never would until it was answered, and he was unspeakably glad that he'd had the presence of mind to ask it while he could. With no reason to think ongoing contact with the architects would be possible, even though this conversation was very surprisingly making him consider that it might have been no bad thing, this was his one chance to find out.
That is an excellent question, the architect said.
Dan waited patiently and keenly for a fuller reply.
But sadly, the alien went on, I have absolutely no idea of the answer.